All right, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5:33. Can you hear me now? All right. 5:33. No. Nah, we'll be all right. So this morning we're going to talk about swearing. Matthew 5:33. Talk about stuff that comes out of your mouth. Matthew 5:33. We'll go through verse 37. Says again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself. It's like perjure, lie, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. Whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. All right, let's pray and we'll talk about swearing this morning. Father, I thank you. Thank you for everybody that's here this morning. I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if anybody here is not saved, that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, they understand the seriousness of their sin before you and understand that Jesus Christ has paid for their sin and offers them justification before you and eternal life. Lord, I lift up Barry and Nancy and the Bond family. I pray you'd continue to heal up Barry. Lord, help him. Please help him feel better. Please help these treatments to address the cancer in his body. Please give him safety as they travel back and forth. Lord, I pray that you'd get rid of the cancer in his body. Lord, thank you for, again, each soul that's here this morning. Lift up the teachers in the back. I pray that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister your words to the kids. And Lord, we would all get fed by you this morning, get what we need from you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a couple thoughts to open this up. Jesus Christ is interpreting the law in these Matthew 5. He is, in some cases, since the law had been taught by the Pharisees and religious leaders and all that stuff, basically to justify the works of the flesh, Jesus Christ has taken the law and he's explaining and interpreting the law the way it was meant to be interpreted. And really, if you remember, the law would only be able to go so far. I mean, the aim that the Lord is aiming for is the heart of man. But the law can't identify the heart necessarily. It can identify activities. And so once an activity has been performed, then now the law can step in and say this was wrong and things like that. But it could never get to the spirit, although that was the intention. So Jesus Christ is dealing with interpreting the law. And let me ask you this. Get you thinking. I know it's too early in the morning to think, but we'll try it anyway. All right. When you trust Jesus Christ, and I'm not assuming everybody in here has, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, are you now under the law? I know everybody's like, I don't know what to say to him. Maybe. Go ahead, Art. There you go. You're justified in Jesus Christ. But let me ask you this. If you're justified by Jesus Christ, is it good to go out and commit adultery? No. Is it good to lie? No. All right, so being justified, the law doesn't justify you. Jesus Christ justifies souls by his blood. He fulfills the law. However, the law is not bad in that it's not telling you to do wrong things. It would actually be a good testimony to establish the law. And it is a good testimony. I'll show you a couple of verses here. Look over in Romans chapter 3, verse 31. Sometimes if you read what Jesus Christ is saying here in Matthew 5, people say he's trying to tell people how to get to heaven. He's not telling people how to get to heaven. He's interpreting the law. But the law was only capable of doing certain things. Romans 3 and verse 31. The law shows people what indicts them before God Almighty, the things that make a person guilty or condemned before God. All right, Romans 3:31, Paul says this. This is Paul. All right. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. All right, that's what some people did. They would say, I'm justified. I can do anything I want to now. I'm free from the law. Well, to say you're free from the law doesn't really have any practical application because there's no benefit to being justified by the blood of Jesus Christ and then just continuing in adultery, or you bring a bad testimony to Jesus Christ. You have ramifications in your own life. The point is, he says, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. It's a good testimony. All right, so it's not like the law is a bad thing, and sometimes we get this idea, and you got to be careful how you do this thing, but say the law is here and Jesus Christ is here. It's true, the law came by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ said it. I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to establish it. I came to fulfill it. And even your faith says the law needs to be fulfilled. And it is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, but the law, the shortcoming of the law was, it's not going to save you if you did the law. All right, so if you read Matthew 5 and just dealing with swearing here, say, well, I don't swear, or, okay, maybe that's not the one you did, but maybe there's another one on the list that you've done. The point is, it's just showing folks where the condemnation is in this life before a holy God, and what the works of the flesh are and how they manifest themselves. Here's another one I'll show you. It's very interesting. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll get back to the swearing part. I just wanted to show you these things about the law first, because I don't want you to be confused that Jesus Christ is telling people how to be saved by not doing a bunch of stuff. That's not what he's saying. Paul would say, not here, but in Romans, the law cannot justify man. It doesn't have that function. 1 Timothy 1:8. Paul talking about the law here. It says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. All right, so it is good. Don't commit adultery is a good practice. That's a good thing. Verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers or fathers of murderers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, that's what we're talking about here, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to, watch this, to sound doctrine. So the law is associated with having sound doctrine in a person's life. Now watch what else it's connected to. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. That's interesting. So Paul said the law has a very clear function and a good function. And it's not that there's a part of you that is, you trust Jesus Christ for your justification. So the blood of Jesus Christ justifies. God accepts the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't accept your blood and accept my blood. He accepts the blood of Jesus Christ. However, that doesn't mean the things that were said in the law are just dumb things to do, not to do. He said by faith we would establish the law because the law has good, it's good. Don't lie is good. That's a good practice. That's sound doctrine. Don't commit adultery. Don't hate your brother in your heart. Don't have murder in your heart. Those are good practices. That's good. He said that's sound doctrine. That's good things. All right, so I say all that because when we're dealing with Jesus Christ talking about the law, he's interpreting the law, and he's showing where man becomes guilty or condemned before God. All right, back over here, back over to Matthew, and let's deal with the swearing part of this. Go ahead, Josh. Go ahead. I gotta find it. Right. It does. And he's dealing with people who are trying to establish their own righteousness by keeping the law, by saying, I don't steal or I don't kill, that way I'm good. Well, that's not the function of the law. The law points out guilt. And that's what it does. All right, Matthew chapter 5. Go ahead, Mike. So the law identifies, you could say Ten Commandments, but it's not even, the Sabbath is not something for you and I necessarily. When he deals with the law, he lays out in Galatians 5 the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, all that stuff. The law identifies those works of the flesh and tells a person where the works of the flesh begin or where they're acted out. So it's not the Levitical law, that's Levites, dietary law, that kind of stuff. That was Israel. But clearly there is a law of God. He says it in Romans chapter 3 that even man would show the law within himself. He understands within himself that killing another human being is wrong. He understands within himself that stealing is wrong. So even some of these laws, they don't even have to be written down necessarily. They're parts of your conscience. So, and all they are, they're identifying the works of the flesh laid out in Galatians chapter 5. And you got that whole list there of the works of the flesh. So, no, it's not the Levitical law. We're not talking about keeping all of the dietary stuff and all that. We're talking about specifically some things Jesus Christ is highlighting here that are universal to mankind. Stealing, killing, now he's talking about stuff that comes out of your mouth. So I hope that answers your question. It's not the Levitical law. All right, Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, back over here. Swearing is something, he says, don't swear at all. Swearing is something, it ranges from making promises you don't keep to the swearing that goes on now. People just say things that, it's incredible the ease with which things come out of our mouths and make us guilty before God. And when I say guilty, I'm not talking about you're going to go to hell if you say this. But I'm saying it will bring condemnation to your testimony. It will bring condemnation to Jesus Christ. People will listen to what comes out of your mouth and blaspheme Jesus Christ and say, what kind of God do you serve if this is how you talk all the time? So it's not like when I say condemnation, I'm not talking about you're going to hell if you say this. I hope that's clear. However, if you don't have Jesus Christ, these are reasons people end up in hell. Because of what comes out of their mouth, because of the activities that aren't covered in the blood. I mean, if a criminal, a person goes to court, the reason they're in court and the reason they're before a judge is because of some activity they participated in. And they'll either be guilty of the crime or innocent of the crime, but if they're guilty, they're guilty of a particular crime, and God lays out these crimes that are against him. All right, so back in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. He says, again, you've heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. All right, so the law taught, and even the teaching there, is just mean what you say. If you're going to say it, then mean what you say. Verse 34, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So the practice is, people, what we do is, when we want to reinforce what we're saying, we'll add swearing to it. I mean, maybe it's an oath, maybe it's a promise. I promise, cross my heart, hope to die, all that stuff, we say as kids. But even on the other end, swearing as talking about things that are private matters, things that are private things, and adding a holy to that. That's what he said here. He says, swear not at all by heaven. That's God's throne, holy, and you can add the blank beside that. That's what people do. When they want to reinforce what they're saying, they say holy something. Why do they say holy? You call down heaven's throne and you say holy, like this, what you're about to say is holy, or what you're about to do is holy, or what you're reinforcing is holy. None of that's true. What it is you bring down, this is why it's called profanity and cursing and things like that. Profanity is to profane something, to make something that is good, just make it common, to make something that is holy and valuable and something that is not common, just make it ordinary. So someone just says holy whatever, I'm sure you've heard all the words, maybe you've even said them, but you call down holiness as though what you're about to say has anything to do with holiness at all, and it doesn't. And so what I'm saying is it is incredible the ease with which we use our mouths to bring condemnation on ourselves. And if a person has never trusted Jesus Christ, they haven't been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, these are the things that condemn men. These are the things that God looks on men and says, this is the crime you've committed against me. You brought my throne down and made it something common. You've out of your mouth, you have made something just like you, and it's not like you at all. So here's I mean, you guys, the swearing, the profanity, it ranges from an oath, a promise where you say you're going to pay somebody, or you say, I promise to do this, and you don't do it. What the Lord's saying at the very end here in verse 37, when people, if this world was filled with only honesty, what a different world this would be. You would have no false religions. Everything would be true. If everything everybody said was true, you would have no need for contracts. People just say what they're going to do and they would just do it. You wouldn't really need lawyers. You got to write up, you make sure all this stuff so they can sign on the dotted line and then not pay later. But when lies enter into the, I mean, if you thought that thought out, our culture, the world culture, is built on lies. There's so much deception, and so this is men are liars. That's the thing, that they will reinforce something with an oath or with swearing, and they're trying to add emotion to what they're saying. They're trying to add emphasis to their lie, and so they swear to it, and they're not going to do it. Or maybe they think they're going to do it, and the point is, you make promises that you don't even know you can commit to. People say, "Well, I promise to do this." I'll tell you how you do it spiritually. We haven't done it here, just philosophy, and because of this reason. I have good friends in the ministry. Anybody ever heard of like faith promise, where you promise and, all right, I'll tell you the reason I don't do that, or I don't see any benefit to it. I mean, there's benefit. We could make more money doing it and all that stuff. But when a person makes a promise they don't know that they can keep, when they say before God, I'm going to give this much to God over the year. Well, you don't know if you're going to have a job in 2 months. You don't know if you're going to be able to keep that promise. So now, out of obligation, you're giving to fulfill a promise you made. So out of this obligation, you said at the beginning of the year, I'm going to give this much. So you're out of obligation giving. Well, what happens when you don't give? You know what you bring on yourself? Guilt, condemnation. Man, I can't. I promised to God I was gonna give this much and all this stuff. You know what? You ought to give whatever you're comfortable giving, whatever the Lord leads you to give. That's what you ought to give. But don't make promises about it. Particularly, this is the religious side. But people make promises about stuff that they have no idea whether they can keep them or not all the time. That's what the Lord's saying. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond that is evil. You're making promises you don't even know if you can keep. You don't know what tomorrow brings. You have no idea. So what you find out is the things that come out of our mouths, we think so much more highly of ourselves, and that's shown in our speech. I'm going to do this, or I can do this, or you watch how I'm going to do this, or in 10 years, in 5 years, I'm going to be here. You don't know where you're going to be in 10 years or 5 years. You don't know what you're going to be doing. You know what? You have 24 hours. You live that day. I mean, it's good to plan and stuff, but don't boast. He says, boast not tomorrow. You don't know what a day brings forth, and you can't change it. So here's the thing. Look over in Matthew chapter 12. I'll show you something else about what comes out of men's mouths. So swearing and profanity, all this stuff's kind of lumped together. Men saying things that they couldn't make happen or not make happen. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. And then there's cursing. So cussing is the same. That's cursing and cussing. That's the same word. I mean, that's where it comes from. Cursing and cussing. You say damn something. Or you call God in to damn something. Who are you to call God in to damn anything? Like you're going to bring him down and make him do something? The point is what just pours out of our mouths, and what God looks down and his perspective of humanity, he's showing you his perspective of humanity. Things just pour out of people's mouths and they don't even know what they're talking about. They're just lying constantly. So Matthew chapter 12, here's something that deals with what comes out of someone's mouth. Wherefore I say unto you, Matthew 12:31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. All right, we're not going to deal with unpardonable sin this week. Just focus on, Mike, focus on the words. And whosoever speaketh, watch this, whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever, whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. The words. See that? He's talking about words. That's what brings condemnation. It shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. All right, in those verses, what's the fruit he's talking about? The words. The stuff coming out of your mouth. Make it good or make it bad. Telling these Pharisees. Now watch this, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All right, so now we're back to the heart again. We're back to the heart with, you've heard it said, don't kill. And he said, well, I tell you, if you got hatred without a cause toward your brother, you've got murder in your heart. Now we're back to the heart again, because he's saying what's pouring out of your mouth here is stuff that's in your heart. And it's just coming out. And I mean, you don't even recognize sometimes what's coming out. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Wow. What I'm saying is, the Bible says, we talk so much without thinking of the things we're actually saying. And the Lord says, every idle word, that stuff's going to be, you're going to give an account of this. Everything that came out of your mouth. You know what, one of the things that the mouth is likened to several things in the Bible. Anybody know what they are? Some of them? Do what? A sword. It's likened to a sword. Anything else? A grave. That's exactly right. It's like a grave. That's a good one. He said that their mouth is like an open sepulcher. Just opens and just filth just pours out. You know why? Because that's what's in the heart. And that's what we're trying to get at with the law. To get down to the heart of the matter. The problem is, the heart's wrong. That's why this stuff is coming out of this grave of a mouth he got. Stuff is just coming out, and you and I don't even think about the stuff coming out. And God says, that stuff makes you guilty before me. That stuff brings condemnation. That stuff makes people with the testimony of Jesus Christ, hey, I got saved and I got a filthy mouth now. And people say, what kind of God do you have? You talk like I talk. You laugh at the same jokes I laugh at. You say the same jokes that I say. What kind of God do you have? And then he'll say later on in Romans, he says, because of you, God is blasphemed. He doesn't mean anything. You've profaned him. So here's the, back over there in Matthew, guys, like a grave, it's like a rudder, it's like a fire, it's like a sword, it's like a tree. All those things, like a well of water, bad well, good well. You talking about going to hell? Yeah, that's the point of him saying this, so you can get it right. The point of if there was no way of getting it right, there's no point in saying this. The point of saying it is so you can identify the problem and say, this has to be changed. This has to be made right. My heart is messed up beyond what I understand it to be messed up beyond. And so, yeah, the idea is, like he says in Proverbs, you know, the confession, the mercy, all that stuff is there for someone who will confess, who will acknowledge the fact that, yeah, this is coming out of me and it needs to change. So yes, Gary, I mean, to answer the question. Well, and that's 1 Corinthians 3:10, the judgment seat of Christ. And yeah, there is definitely the things done in the body. Like he said in 1 Corinthians 3, the things done in the body, there is a judgment of those things for even saved people. Now, it's not a judgment of whether you're saved or not, but there is a judgment of things done in the body. So, yeah, but and like he said over there in Matthew 12, either make the tree good or make it evil. That's the point of saying these things. Identify the problem and let's get it fixed. All right, so here's the law that Jesus Christ was quoting. Go back over to Leviticus. I'll show you the law here. Leviticus chapter 5. All right, Leviticus 5:4. Says, or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips, to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him. I think that's interesting. It says, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. You see how easy it is to talk? If a guy says something like this, this is what he says in Leviticus, if he says this, and he doesn't even realize he's said it, and then someone brings it to his attention that he said it, well, now he's under the oath now. But you see how easy it is just to say stuff. You just say stuff. All right. Verse 5, and it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin, which he has sinned. And then he prescribes the sacrifice. All right, this law is also in Deuteronomy, and I'll show it to you again in Deuteronomy. But that's the point of just showing you the law, part of the law here, that someone would swear, and now they're going to be bound by this oath. And the law said, if you're going to swear, you're going to be bound by the oath. Then Jesus Christ says, but I say unto you, don't swear at all. Let me show you this one. Well, yeah, we're back here. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. And actually, that's in the law. Don't swear. Or there's no need for it. Deuteronomy 23, verse 21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. Now watch this. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. So the law said, if you make a promise, keep your promise. Also, you don't need to make a promise. you don't need to vow. It's not a sin not to vow. If you don't swear by it, then you're not bound by it. So this is where Jesus Christ is interpreting the law. The Pharisees, of course, didn't interpret the law. They would use the law to their advantage. But verse 22, if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. You don't need to make a promise. You don't need to make a vow. You don't need to make an oath. You don't need to swear by anything. Verse 23, that which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. All right, so in the law it even says, if you're going to make a promise, keep your promise. However, you don't need to make a promise. That's exactly what Jesus Christ said. You don't need to make these vows. You don't need to say, I promise God, if I win the lottery, I'm going to give you $1 million. You make these promises and you know, who knows if you can keep them. So back over here, let me show you something the Pharisees did with it real quick before we deal with the interpretation, which you saw some in Deuteronomy. All right, so let's see. We don't have much time. I'll tell you what, I won't do that one. Go over in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1. Here's the idea. Well, we'll read these verses, but here's the idea. One idea out of all this. Ecclesiastes 5:1. The Lord doesn't need your commitment. What he needs is your surrender. He doesn't need your promises. He needs you to believe his promises. So people want to be spiritual, so they say, you know, make a promise to God or make this vow. No, he doesn't need your promise. You need to believe his promise. He doesn't need you to tell him how much you're going to do. He needs you to surrender to what he said to do. So he's not looking for you to lie to him and tell him how much you're going to offer him. He's looking for you to listen to him and do what he said to do. Ecclesiastes 5:1. Here's Solomon saying it. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. People talk all the time, but they don't even consider the fact that they're participating in evil. This is us, this is the world, this is to a T. Just doing things and not even considering that you do evil. There's not even a consideration, not even a thought. Be not rash with thy mouth, verse 2, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest to vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow. So you see that? He's got both of them covered. You're going to say you're going to do something, okay, now you're obligated to do it. However, it's better just not to make an oath. Because you have no idea whether you're going to be able to do it or not. Better it is, verse 5, that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Either say thou before the angel that it was an error. I messed up. I didn't really mean that. I said that, but I didn't really mean that. I mean, I told you I'd be there, but I didn't really mean I was going to be there. I mean, I just said that. Verse 6, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. People talking, he says over there in, I think it's Proverbs, he says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. Just talking. He said, you can be sure there's sin in all that. All right, so here's the law again interpreted. Solomon interprets it in Ecclesiastes. Listen, God doesn't need your promises to him. He needs you to listen to his promises. He doesn't need you to tell him what you're going to do. He needs you to surrender to what he said to do. You're not enforcing your spirituality by making promises and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, that's even in conversation, not just religious settings. All right, one more time. Look at James chapter 5. And then maybe I'll show you what the Pharisees did with this thing. James has so much to say about the mouth, what comes out of it. James 5:12. It says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. All right, that's it. That's exactly what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5. If your yes means yes, you don't need to reinforce it with an oath. You don't need to say, I promise. You don't need to swear by it. If you just mean yes when you say yes and you do yes, that's all you need to say. Let your yea be yea, let your nay be nay. All right? So, you're in James. I'll show you one more. James chapter 3, about the mouth and how the mouth gets people in trouble. Verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. All right. There you go. And able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Yeah. Says a lot. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? All this stuff about the tongue here. Let's see. Verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. There you go. That's the wise man. Good conversation, meekness, wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. We'll stop there. You get the idea. That whole chapter about the tongue. It is something that has to be put on a chain, and something that has to be controlled, and something that has to, and the way it, I tell you what, the way to control a lot of times the tongue is to control what goes into the heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you put good stuff into the heart, likely good stuff will come out. But if you pour filth through the ears and through the eyes into the heart, what's likely going to come out is just filth. And it just reveals the heart. So it's sometimes the matter of the tongue and what you say and what you're talking about has to do with what you've put in there. Sometimes the way to end gossip is to stop listening. You know what I mean? Stop listening for things. Turn the ears off. Because what you're pouring in now is pouring out. The way to you say, well, you need to stop talking. You need to stop doing all this. No, you might need to stop listening to some things. That stuff goes in and it comes out of